James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life for many as ransom." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Throughout this year, we've been listening to the Gospel of Mark, and we really only have a few more weeks in which we move through this gospel. But today, I think we get to the very heart of what this gospel reading is, or what the Gospel of Mark is about. Today's passage sits with the issue of who Jesus is and who we are called to be. Our gospel takes place just before the reading that we hear today. Jesus predicts for the third time his suffering and his death. It's the third passion prediction. The very first time that he did that right after he asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter responds, "You are the Christ, the Holy One of God." And Jesus then predicts his passion. And then we're told that Peter pulls him aside, rebukes him, and says, "Surely, Lord, this won't happen to you." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." And then he turns to the disciples and tells them that if they wish to follow him, they must take up their cross. And they must follow him in the same manner in which he gives his life for others. The second time that this happens, Jesus predicts his passion. And as soon as that happens, the disciples get into a fight about which one of them is the greatest. And in that battle, Jesus pulls them aside and rebukes them. And then pulls a child in front of them and says, "Unless you receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you will not inherit the kingdom." And he calls them to a humility and calls them to a dependence like that of a child. And then the third time, Jesus predicts his passion and says that the Son of Man must suffer at the hands of others to die and then to be raised on the third day. And so James and John come up and say, "Lord, we want you to give us anything that we want." And Jesus' response to that very childish sort of request is to say, "Okay, what is it that you're asking?" And they say, "We'd like to sit at your right and your left in the kingdom." And even as Jesus talks about his own death, all they can do is fantasize about the authority and the power that they are going to have in the kingdom. And of course, Jesus tells them that to sit at his right and his left is not for him to choose. And in fact, the people that will be at his right and his left when he enters into his glory will be two criminals that are crucified on either side of him. And they will revile him, make fun of him because of his suffering. And he looks at them and says, "You have no idea what you're asking for." And so once again, another fight breaks out. And the disciples are upset. The apostles are upset with James and John for their request. And Jesus pulls them aside And he begins to speak once again of himself as one who has come not to be served, but is to serve and to offer his life as a ransom for many. My brothers and sisters, there has been many different times in the New Testament, in St. Paul, and in the Gospels, in which there's been an attempt to try to get at why is it that Jesus came. And it's this passage that has most inspired the Christian community for millennia. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That his life and his suffering and death wasn't something he just endured, but something he chose for us, so that you and I might be free. Might be free in this world to love, might be free ultimately to find salvation. And then he looks at the disciples and says, the leaders of the Gentiles lord their power and authority over others. But it will not be so among you. And that should stand as a very strong challenge to us. Because in all the time since Christ, in the many Christian kingdoms, it has never been that way. We have always looked to authority as something that's imposed. And Jesus looks at us and says, it will not be so among you. You are called to serve as the Son of Man serves. You are called to be a slave to one another. And when Jesus says that, I really think, my brothers and sisters, he's not talking about being courteous and letting other people go before us. He's not talking about us driving down the street and letting somebody in. Not only talking about that. He's not only talking about the sense of kind of honoring and recognizing other people. He is saying to his disciples that their lives are there because I need you to help that person get into the kingdom of heaven. I need you to offer your lives for other people so that they might find life and joy with the Father. I need you to imitate me as one who offers his life so that others might be free. We're called to more than just courteousness. We're called even more than just to be kind. We're called to actually think in terms of how do I help other people find the Father and get to heaven. That's true in all of our relationships. It's certainly most true in the relationships that are close to us, our vocational relationships, our marriages. Spouses are called to get one another to heaven. Priests are called to save souls and to call other people to heaven. Religious are called to pray and to live a life that recognizes the dignity of the other and strives to get others to God. Our lives need to be about getting others to God. Those words are still spoken to us today. We are called to be a servant of others. If we desire to be great in the kingdom of heaven, then we are called to be a slave to all, to help lay down our own lives so that others might know salvation and others might know the kingdom of the Father. Amen.